seen anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Suck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Hello, you're welcome along to Golf Weekly. We have Nathan Murphy there. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Joe.
And Dave McIntyre. Hello to you.
Gentlemen.
No Fionn for the next several weeks, I'm sad to say.
Will we even take him back?
Well, that's a question for the listeners.
Being missed?
Right.
No.
I'm just going to have to perform out of my skin maybe for the next few weeks.
Yeah,
I've made a naive, wild assumption there that I'm going to be selected for the next few weeks.
Well, this is a trial period.
We have interesting news. We can be a big four. We don't have to be a big three. We have interesting news, and I'm not saying this was thrust upon us, but we didn't do much of the legwork here, but it's happening. So we are going to have a golf day for the listeners.
Yes, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Our first golf day of 2017.
Which alludes to the fact there may be more than one.
There may be more than one. Okay. It's a lot of interest out there, a lot of sponsors.
Look, the sponsors have realised what a cash cow we really are.
Yeah. Now, if we could realise how much of a cash cow we have become,
yes,
and maybe get some benefits from it. I think
we're misunderstanding the actual meaning of the phrase cash cow. I think you have to be making and delivering cash on a regular, lengthy basis
in order
to be considered a cash cow.
We're a cash cow. Let's just leave it at that.
How much have we made so far?
I wouldn't even know.
Yeah. I don't know. But there's so many great events out there, such as the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open coming up around the corner.
I know.
My favourite open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's
I have so many favourite golf courses right now.
Let's not keep people in. I know. We actually do. Actually, the island were on to us to do a golf weekly in the island.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
My mother-in-law would be delighted.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't
mention that. She's a member, by the way. That's why.
Yeah. Thanks for the context.
Yeah. I never mentioned that to you. This is a real production meeting on air. But yeah, the island were saying...
And we had someone in touch with us during the week, didn't we, about looking to get involved on a more corporate level?
Did we?
Can we justify taking the day off work so to play golf in the island... And then record the podcast afterwards and say, well, actually, we've just been working.
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so on certain days. I think it's doable. Anyway, look, let's press ahead. We'll talk about this stuff off air. The concrete news is we're having a golf day for listeners. For Golf Weekly listeners only?
For Golf Weekly listeners only. You're
excellent.
A very special bunch. 50 of you.
Oof.
Do you want me to read the corporate script for you?
Well, yeah.
Golf Weekly has teamed up with Vox Golf, Ireland's first amateur golf tournament app, for the first ever Golf Weekly 9-hole challenge.
Oh.
So it means everybody can get out. You don't need to worry about work. You can just dash out for a couple of hours.
So it's 9 holes.
And it's done. It's a 9-hole competition.
Okay.
So to get involved, you need to download the Vox Golf app, which is something you really should be doing anyways.
Okay.
It's a new app that allows any golfer to set up a competition against their mates or against their entire club with cashless entry fees, digital scorecards, and a live leaderboard showing progress in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really like the sound of. Have you ever played a round of golf with a live leaderboard?
No.
It's a different experience. Puts a bit of pressure on.
No,
I did it once down in the Heritage at a golf day, and we were winning with 4 holes to go. Then we looked at the live leaderboard, and we bottled it.
Yeah.
You'd have it, unless you're a leader, one of those pros or amateurs that professes not to be a leaderboard watcher.
Yeah. No, I would like to play with the live leaderboard.
Yeah.
But there is that nice moment where you come into the clubhouse with a good score and then someone goes, oh no, Steve got 42 points.
Oh,
Steve.
Nobody's ever heard of Steve.
Where did
he suddenly appear from?
Yeah.
So there's quite a prize at the end of this. Potentially.
Okay.
Potentially
right.
Quite a prize. Because Vox Golf are running a nationwide 9-hole tournament until the end of March called Vox Golf Major 9.
How many times have you said Vox Golf?
Vox Golf, eh?
Just come on.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Now let's go. Come on now.
So the winner of that overall competition
gets
2 tickets to a major of their choice.
Ooh, okay. Why don't they just say to the Masters?
Well, it only finishes on the 30th of March.
I'll have the USPGA, please, Bob.
It depends where the USPGA is. Like, some people might say, all right, the USPGA is over in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Maybe I prefer a trip to San Francisco.
No, if you don't pick the Masters, you're a mug, and we don't want you listening to the pod anymore. Come on.
But
the Masters is the
They'll only have 2 weeks to get themselves sorted and get the time off.
Possibly.
I think you'll get sorted. To go to the Masters. It's impossible to get tickets for the Masters.
I know.
So the winners of our Golf Weekly 9-hole challenge will win a place in the final of that.
Okay.
And they will also get a 4-ball at one of the most exclusive courses in Ireland.
Right.
Somewhere pretty good.
Are you done reading?
No, I have a bit more to go.
Okay.
Do you not want to know how you get involved?
Sorry. go on.
So we have 50 places to give away.
Right.
Takes place in Castleknock Golf Club here in Dublin on Friday, March 3rd. Tee times from 1:30 to 3:30. So you'd be finishing up around sort of 4:30, 5:30.
Okay.
And then there'll be a bit of grub. And then we're going to record a very special live golf weekly podcast with some surprise guests.
Well, hey. Surprise being a euphemism for...
We don't know yet. It's still weeks away.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise to us too.
We'll be there. That's the main thing. So to enter, you just download the Vox Golf app.
Okay.
That's VOXGOLF, Joe.
Yeah.
And tweet your name to @GolfWeeklyNT. We'll pick 25 winners this week, 25 winners next week.
All right, so that's how we're doing this.
Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. So download the Vox Golf app. Tweet us with your name.
Yes.
And we'll pick 25
because
this
then
week,
you see 25 you'll week. Need the Vox Golf app to take part on the day.
Right. How will we know if someone has just tweeted us their name and not downloaded the app?
Because I'll be sending on the names to the people in Vox Golf, who will then look at all the list of names of people who have downloaded their app.
Okay, fair enough. No, I'm good. I'm with you.
Anything else? Do you want me to just run through it all again?
Definitely not. So, Friday, March 3rd.
Yes, Castleknock Golf Club.
The day itself will
great,
not be as
great
boring.
Great course because it's where I've had my two lowest ever rounds.
Say again?
It's where Castleknock Golf Club.
That's irrelevant for this discussion right now. So 1:30 to 3:30, we're going to be there with food afterwards and some surprise guests that we don't have yet. Okay.
You excited?
I know, I am excited. Yeah, that's good. Because when we did it in...
Kilmarnock.
2 years ago.
Great day.
And it was an amazing day.
Astonishing weather.
Yeah, astonishing weather.
My drive off the first was something I'll never forget because I was, quite honestly, I didn't sleep very well the night before.
Okay, well look, do come along because the last time was great and the Golf Weekly Friends of the Pod are good crew, very sociable. There's a nice atmosphere.
Indeed.
Everybody's in on the secret that we're all assholes and they kind of, you know, they have that in common.
Yeah, they enjoy participating in the assholery.
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa. Come on there. Okay,
you're
brilliant.
Barred from Castleknock on March 3rd.
You're an absolute scumbag. Okay, great. Brilliant. Signed up. 50 is tight. We had 200, over 200 applications.
That's why it's a competition.
Runner. Okay, so.
It's exclusive.
I hear you.
I take it the 50 does not include us three.
No.
So,
you're tweeting, because there's loads to talk about. Apologies if we weren't here last week. None of us were around, really.
Well, let the record show that McIntyre did want to cobble something together, but
we don't cobble together, you see.
We either abandon the listeners completely,
just the best of the best, or well, this may be cobbled.
Carry on, Joe.
Buddy Bud Pup Dog was in touch to say, loving the pod in Perth. Keep up the good work. Any picture of him in Perth where they had, imagine this, blue skies. I haven't seen a blue sky in what feels like weeks.
I assume it's Perth, Australia, not Perth, Scotland.
Correct. Trizzle 3517. I need a Golf Weekly pod. Too much golf news has occurred. Comments from the big three of golf pods are warranted. Dot O'Gorman. Listening in while building the new Adair golf course.
Mm.
We were just talking about Adair before we came on air. It's going to be amazing when it's done. Love the podcast, boys. Good man, Dot. We're here in Ryder Cup.
Sometime down the line.
Is that public knowledge?
Distinct possibility.
That's why he's doing it. It'll be aimed at the American market, and the best way of marketing to those guys is hosting a Ryder Cup.
They're calling it the Augusta of Europe.
The Augusta of Limerick.
Which I think Mount Juliet has already claimed. I don't know. I think they did go as the Augusta of Ireland or the Augusta of Europe. But anyway, Adair is...
It is a gorgeous golf course.
I've never played...
It's very nice. I played the media day ahead of the JP McManus Pro-Am a few years back. Right. Great place.
Okay. Jonathan Kennedy. Oh, unbelievable. Jonathan Kennedy hanging out with Pirlo.
What?
Footballer, yeah. With Pirlo after his round on Troon's Scottsdale. First time to play desert golf. There's a picture with him in the locker room. That's good.
That's pretty glamorous.
Yeah. Jonathan Kennedy, also before he met Pirlo, presumably, he was in Phoenix and he was there with the famous Tiger Rock from 1999. Remember Tiger had to get all the patrons, the crowd, to move the rock?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's become a tourist attraction now.
There's not a lot going on down in
Scottsdale. Though he points out there's a new rule since the fans moved at that time for Tiger, which is only the player and caddy can move it.
You'd want to have been in the gym and your caddy would want to have eaten his spinach as well.
It's a consideration when you're pricking your caddy. You know, you got a muscle-bound guy and then you got Fluff. You go with the guy who can move the rock.
Maybe that's why he got rid of Steve, brought Steve in and got rid of Fluff.
Yeah. Simon Murdoch, will there be a pod this week, gents? Yes, there will. Will Jones is off to Dubai tonight and he wants his pod fix. Here you go, Will. Daniel Holden, can we please take a moment to discuss just how annoying Bill Murray is?
Yeah, the novelty's worn off.
Mm-hmm. I think it's worn off for him too. Did you see him turn his back on a reporter, TV cameraman?
No.
I mean, it was excruciatingly awkward for everyone. There was a great moment where the guy's trying to get... So the guy has his headphones on and Murray's there and there's fans and he's saying to Bill, Bill, come here, Bill. Bill, Bill, come here. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Bill, no interest. And then the guy is going back up to the producers somewhere off base saying, no, 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 I got him, I got him, I got him. Bill, Bill, Bill. No, no, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here. Stay with me. Bill, Bill. That runs after Bill Murray, who has no interest, catches up with Bill. And then Bill Murray, who just will not play along with anything which he smells even a hint of bullshit off, goes to the guy. You know, the guy eventually catches up with him and Bill goes, I told you, I don't know, you know, I told you before, what's his name? And he points at the cameraman. So you think maybe he's got some issue with the cameraman. So Bill goes, what's his name? And the reporter looks from Bill to the cameraman, realises he doesn't know the cameraman's name.
Oh, no.
And he just kind of says, and Bill just walks off. And then they have the sense to cut away. So I don't think Bill Murray's loving it all that much either. I didn't see him interacting with the fans. Maybe he was doing that thing, was he?
I didn't see too much of Bill Murray, thankfully. I saw bits, but like, just don't watch people playing golf for 5 hours. It just
I'm tired of the pro
whatever
format.
Myth was there Are of we? Bill Murray.
Oh, we only have to watch it twice here at in Scotland at the end of the season and at the AT&T, and it's just boring.
Justin Timberlake on the par three.
I don't care. Like, unless even
Justin Timberlake, and Justin Rose. It's like,
I want to see Justin
Rose.
That's
not cool, Justin Timberlake. Yeah. Justin Rose is not the cool guy you should be hanging around with.
He's such a doofus, Rose. He's so cheesy.
Yeah, like in a charming golf kind of way.
Yeah.
But for Justin Timberlake to be in the middle of all that.
Is there not the argument that it highlights how brilliant the professional swings are when you see them next to Mir Morris?
No, it adds an extra 40 minutes onto an already excruciatingly long round of
golf. I couldn't
believe
how many golfers went long in the seventh of the amateurs. Every second one went straight into the water.
Because it's 100 yards.
Yeah. But they're obviously, suddenly it's, wow, I'm live on TV on the 7th of Pebble Beach.
The adrenaline's pumping.
Boom.
And it's downhill. They mightn't be considering that.
Anytime, I just want to see, what's his name? Alfonso Ribeiro, is it? From Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah.
I must have seen him do his Fresh Prince of Bel-Air dance 20 times over the weekend. Every time the camera went on him.
Yeah.
Was Kenny G playing? I didn't see Kenny G.
I didn't watch enough to figure out whether he was or not. It's just, it's no fun watching them anymore. I don't, like.
Was Ray Romano there? He's always there.
He was there, yeah.
Everybody loves him.
And they threw the line in. Oh, sure, everyone loves Ray.
I just did it there.
What is it, 50 grand?
To play in. I know it raises a lot of money for charity.
50 grand if you want to play in the pro-am.
Wow.
Can they not just give the 50 grand and not play?
That wouldn't really be the point.
They show, like on Saturday and Sunday, they actually show... It's not just a little mini highlights reel from every 15-20 minutes. They actually show live golf with celebrities playing. Who gives a fuck? I don't care.
I presume Gretzky was there with DJ, was he?
Well, as long as he brings his daughter with him, that's fine.
But Dave. That is outrageous. What's wrong with you?
What
is wrong with you?
I did think it went overboard a couple of years ago when DA Points won playing with Bill Murray.
That was great.
And there was a good analysis for probably an hour afterwards about the impact Bill Murray had. On DA Points.
DA Points himself said, Bill kept me calm out there.
He was just joking. Couldn't concentrate. Couldn't concentrate in my nerves.
Okay, well, I don't mind it. You clearly...
Really?
Yeah,
I thought you were totally against it.
No, I like it. I like a bit of fame. I'm shallow.
I know that, but
I like seeing Justin Timberlake hit golf shots.
No, I do enjoy the watching the amateurs swing the club and how far they can hit it and where they can hit it.
So do I.
But after a while, it's like, oh my God.
Well, maybe that's
fair. Point
where
you don't care. Particularly... I've got a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old at home. I don't have time to watch Bill Murray drive on the 7T. I just don't have time for that. Okay? If I want to watch golf, I need to get it in small doses and relevant doses.
It needs to be good. Well, more of that and on later on in the show. I met another Golf Weekly podcast this weekend. It's Sean Walsh. It's not you, it's me. It was good. Exciting almost. But I felt empty afterwards. Well, Sean, get out.
Yeah, whatever.
Get out, Sean.
I don't care if they've got Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy.
Who cares?
Sean's chances of making the top 50 for Casanova.
Just give me his name there. Doesn't Sean matter Walsh. How many times he downloads the app.
Yeah, we'll see you in Castleknock, Sean. Ronan Donovan. Oh, Ronan Donovan made us jealous. Was hoping to have a pod to listen to this week for this journey to the old track. He was playing the old course. Beautiful. He's got a beautiful swing. He sent us a little video of him swinging on the old course.
Now, was it his actual swing or was it his practice swing?
Actual.
Okay, because I've got a great practice swing.
No, I know that. Nick Gordon, your schedule's as reliable as Tiger's back. Yeah. Stephen, lads, I've a poxy 6:30 a.m. flight to Heathrow Monday morning and was counting on a pod this week. What gives? I just thought that was interesting that he would listen to us talk on a Monday morning.
When it's all happened.
About, golf, which we record it on Thursday. He will wait for it all to happen, then listen to us on a Monday.
And we're generally talking about the golf that had happened the weekend previous
before.
To that.
Yeah.
Look, whatever so floats his boat.
Listen, it's good to have you with us, Stephen. So, Christopher Cairns, no Bill Murray pod this week. No, we didn't. Fionn Davenport pointed out why. He said, I'm travelling and it's clear they fall to pieces without the glue I provide. Ian Sweeney. Oh, this was amazing. He listened to the pod. He was walking on the Baltic Sea in Hamina near Kotka in Finland, where it was minus 20. It was a lot of snow.
He was walking on the sea.
Yes, walking on the Baltic Sea. It was minus 20.
Takes serious temperatures to freeze the waves.
Well, minus 20. What's wrong with you?
What?
Fionn, if you're listening.
It does, though.
Can we get Fionn on Skype?
Imagine we can
be way below zero and the waves will still find a way to make their waves.
But just imagine.
What about when the waves start moving?
Imagine what Fionn
exactly.
Through the ice.
In a wavel type motion.
Can I just say this, Nathan? Imagine what Fionn would have said about the Baltic Sea in Hamina near Kotka in Finland.
Wow, yeah. We would have had the history.
He would have just said,
of how
been
the
there,
Baltic
done
name
it.
Came about.
It's no great change.
Just because it's really cold.
Dave points out minus 20 is cold. Jack Mortlock, watching Tigers come back is like watching The Phantom Menace. 10 minutes in, you're thinking, this is shit. Well done, Jack. So here's what's happened on tour since the last pod. On the European Tour, this feels like ancient history now, but it's worth pointing out, Sergio Garcia won in Dubai in the desert, his first European title in 3 years. He beat Stenson by 3 shots. That's his 12th European title. That was very good from Sergio. And Zanotti won the Maybank Championship last week. And then on the PGA Tour, we didn't mention it because we weren't here, but Hideki Matsuyama won the Waste Management Phoenix Open 2 weeks ago. Back-to-back wins for him. He beat Webb Simpson in a 4-hole playoff for victory. He has now won, Hideki Matsuyama, I think this is worth stating, 5 of his last 9 tournament starts, and he remains at world number 5.
There's a lot of money to be made over the last few weeks of Hideki Matsuyama. It was Super Bowl night. Mm. And I knew I wasn't going to stay up for the Super Bowl, but the playoff kept me going. Webb Simpson has lost a shed load of weight. He has the skinniest arms I've ever seen in a professional.
That's true.
And it's actually good to see him play again, because obviously he had to give up the belly putter. He's had to change his game completely. He putted pretty well over the 3 days. Couldn't really buy himself a putt on the back nine at Phoenix, and that kind of meant that all the putts he stood over in the playoff, he had 3 chances to win, and he didn't really threaten the hole on any of them. But the big question about Matsuyama, and as well after Garcia won in the desert, the articles about whether or not he can break his major duck this year start. Obviously, Garcia and Matsuyama are very different places in terms of winning a major, but you wonder, could both or either have a chance this year?
Well, you wouldn't write off Matsuyama. Like, he's got balls as well, for sure. There was a moment where Webb Simpson should have chipped, and something just came back to me. I remember being at Muirfield in 2013, and this wouldn't have been on television or anything, but you just happened to be behind a green when Webb Simpson was there. Now, I don't have Webb Simpson's chipping stats, so I don't know if this is the norm. But he was there, and it was a routine chip. There were no cameras there. There was no one there. There was about 5 people around the green. Mm. And he completely duffed it. Like, he was like, the ball just didn't move. It was like the shot that one of us would hit. And I've never quite forgotten that about Webb Simpson. So I feel like that is somewhere there in his psyche. And it was interesting to note that he should have chipped at one point and didn't. But it was good to see him
back.
Was
that when he... his path to the flag was blocked off by the contour of the green.
Yeah.
But was he not on the putting surface, though? Now, I have seen players chip on the green. Mickelson's done it a couple of times, whereby there is no actual pathway to. You've just found the wrong part of the green.
Yeah.
They've took the pin away into the back right-hand corner.
Yeah.
And he left it about 20 feet away, but that was as close as he could have actually got to the...
With the putter.
Cup with the putter.
Yeah.
They never suggested in commentary that he should have a wedge in his hand. But it's not illegal.
No.
I've seen Mickelson do it. You obviously have to pick the ball right off the top, though.
Sure, you've got to be really good.
Otherwise, you're pissing an awful lot of greenkeepers off.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and double check exactly. I don't want to say for sure because it was 2 weeks ago, which feels like a lifetime. But it just struck me that the British Open memory zinged into my head at the time.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl wiped clear every other memory from that night because it was so extraordinary. And then the other thing which has happened in the last week is that Jordan Spieth has won at Pebble Beach. 9th career PGA Tour victory. So this means that he is the youngest player since Tiger Woods to claim that many titles, which is outrageous. Tell us about the Spieth win, Dave. I didn't see much of this, but he was unbelievably comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Saturday, he was just absolutely brilliant. 10 putts on his back nine on Saturday, and he closed with 3 birdies in the final 4 holes. So that meant he brought a 6-shot lead into the final round. And he kind of just set himself up to play par golf. And he did make a bogey for, how many holes was it that he went without a bogey? 26 holes Tiger went without one playing there 17 years previous. Spieth played his final 28 holes without a bogey. Mm. Now, it wasn't US Open conditions. Tiger did that at the US Open back when he had that record win at Pebble Beach. But he just didn't have to rely on his putter at all.
Yeah.
And he looked so comfortable. And that is the most worrying part from non-Spieth fans' point of view. How comfortable he looked on the course. And it's as well as we've seen him play since he kind of handed the green jacket to Danny Willett, both literally and figuratively, at Augusta National. And we're getting very close to Augusta now.
Mm. Well, this was coming over the last few weeks as well from Spieth. All he needed was a slight improvement with the putter, which is, you know, for Spieth, that's at such a high standard anyway. 16 of 18 greens on Sunday, and all season long he's up about 85, somewhere between 85 and 90% greens in regulation.
Yeah.
And when you're as good a putter as he is, you're going to win a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, he's tidied up his ball striking. He's improved it slightly. He's talked about that. They worked on it a lot.
Well, he went from, in 2015, he was 9th in the strokes gained putting and 11th in strokes gained on approach shots. Last season, he went to 87th in strokes gained on approach shots.
Wow.
And this season, he's right back up in the top 5.
Okay.
So
that sums it up beautifully.
It's literally down to, because once he gets it within 15 feet, he's holding it.
Yeah. That's good work out of you there, Nathan Murphy.
Tried my best.
Well done.
I watched it for about an hour and a half on Sunday evening, and maybe it was one of the reasons why there was so much or so many amateurs being shown, because it was really boring.
It was over as a contest.
He just wasn't really going to let them back into it, and that's been shown as a sign that this is a new Spieth, a camera Spieth. I'm not sure. I still think you don't want to really take the...
I don't want a camera Spieth. I love when the mics pick him up.
Yeah.
I love even when he's so honest when he talks after his round about what he is. When he was choking and Willett was going past him, he turns around to his cat and he says, you know, I feel like we're collapsing here. Yeah. And he quoted himself in his post-round press conference. I want to see that. Don't want to lose that.
I don't think that's gone.
This is his 100th PGA Tour event as a professional.
Wow.
And 9 wins.
1 in 10. That's phenomenal.
Tiger had, was it 28 of his first 100?
I mean, it was just ridiculous. Ridiculous. It really was.
And he's been under par every round in 2017 so far.
Okay. Spieth said he walked up, remembered walking up 18 today and thinking, I don't think I've enjoyed the wins as much as I've talked to myself about the losses. So he was taking the time to really enjoy the win. And he made the point as well, and it backs up exactly what you've just said, Nathan. I didn't rely on the putter at all today. And to win that way is new for me. And it's certainly going to keep some more hair on my head. Just a good line.
It was interesting that it was the 7th straight tour victory for someone in their 20s.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a young man's game now.
It's mad, isn't it? So Justin Thomas, Hudson Swafford is 29. He won in California. John Rahm, 22 at Torrey Pines. Matsuyama, we mentioned, he's 24. Mackenzie Hughes is 25 at Sea Island. And now Jordan Spieth. That is quite the run. 7 straight PGA wins back to back.
Yeah.
Guys in their 20s.
It also, especially when John Rahm won that night, it again rammed home what Harrington was saying when he was talking about McIlroy and McIlroy.
Nice pun there. He didn't even realise it.
Getting to double figures of major wins.
Yeah.
That there's a production line coming through the US colleges, and all these guys, 6'2", hit the ball 325 yards, every aspect of their game technically is perfect.
and they're coming quickly.
Yeah.
So in 5 years' time, there'll be 15 of these guys, and it may not look quite as easy for Rory.
Yeah.
And the collegiate
circuit to go winning another five or six
really hones their competitive instincts, because it's like a dog eat dog. As you look to try and be the best collegiate player in the States. So it's not like they have to find their way on tour. Mm. They either arrive in the Nike Tour or they arrive in the PGA Tour, and they can win. They don't have to win if they get themselves in contention. Ram was well up the leaderboard again on Sunday. For the gamblers amongst us and amongst our listeners, he's going to win again before the end of the season. Just keep a close eye on him.
I'm always conscious of people who are trying to give up gambling. Like, it must be impossible for them to watch anything or listen to anything.
Well, you can't watch an ad break without having at least three different betting companies forcing their product.
You want Golf Weekly to be a sanctuary?
Well, I just think so, because you've just...
Unless, of course, a betting company wants to come and sponsor.
Well, then,
in which case,
we're anyone's.
Yeah.
But literally, I'm thinking of some guy with the shakes at home now after you've said you'd be mad not to look at John Ram.
John Ram, was he playing this?
If you're in a position where the mention of a bet on Golf Weekly forces you online or into the bookies, well, you've got issues. Major issues.
I'm talking about those people with major issues. We're gonna be a sanctuary for them. Because even Ray Winston popping up my TV all the time.
Yeah.
At half time.
This is a debate probably not best
correct
to be had on the Golf Weekly pod.
Fair enough. I want to play you something else Jordan Spieth was talking about. This was pre-tournament on the Wednesday evening anyway. He wasn't too happy with some autograph hunters.
It's not necessarily even worth me spending time arguing, but I'm not appreciative of people who travel to benefit off other people's success, and just it's not necessarily even worth me spending time arguing, but I'm not appreciative of people who travel to benefit off other people's success, and just we're out here to I enjoy signing and sign for kids whenever we get the chance, and when these guys have these items that you've already seen online and people we have our team keeps track of that kind of stuff, and these guys that just have bags of stuff to benefit from other people's success when they didn't do anything themselves, go get a job instead of trying to make money off of the stuff that we've been able to do. We like to sign stuff for charity stuff or for kids or and if you ask anybody universally, it's the same way. They just frustrate. They frustrate us. And so I turned around and one of them, dropped an F-bomb in front of three kids. So I felt the need to turn around and tell them that that wasn't right. And a couple of them were saying, you're not Tiger Woods. Don't act like you're Tiger. I'm just like, whatever, guys, So you're still trying to benefit off me and I'm not even Tiger Woods. So, what's that say about you? So, anyway, yeah, here and there I'll get into it a little bit. Normally I let Michael get into it with him. But, when you see guys that fall around the entire round, the guys after that are saying, we're huge fans. Well, a lot of other people did follow the entire round, and so I want to make sure I sign for them if I didn't get them out there. So it was just a little frustrating at the end, and I didn't appreciate the language that was used and just some scums that just bother me.
Dave,
I'm proud of you. It sounded kind of like the right thing to do.
What do you work on? Who's asking? No, they don't. They didn't. They didn't appreciate it.
Jordan Spieth, scum,
scums.
Plural. Go get a job. Go get a job.
That's some hard hitting stuff from Spieth, wasn't it? He's obviously very, very angry about this. Yeah,
their job is selling autographs.
No, sure.
You don't think this is a job? Standing here for 10 hours a day trying to get an autograph off one guy.
That is a fair point. It's not easy work. You have to go to the events. You have to pay in, I presume.
Yeah.
You have to stand there for hours. You have to, like, plead for autographs.
Degrade yourself.
Yeah.
Stand beside a load of 4-year-old kids.
Yeah. Jordan. You have to then drive home. You then have to...
You need a laptop.
Package them. You have to put them up on eBay. You have to post them out to the people who order them. Like, that is harder than about 90% of jobs. It's harder than our jobs. I don't think Spieth's really engaging with the full experience that these guys have to put in, the work ethic.
I've a bit of sympathy for him there because, so, like we spoke about this in the show last week, if you're over 18, you shouldn't be getting an autograph. You don't need an autograph. And these guys are pushing the 5-year-old kids out of the way.
Yeah, the 5-year-old kids can buy it back. No, I know.
Yeah.
ABC News says a lot of these guys are making 6-figure salaries, which is quite something. I mean, American sports is
the memorabilia market.
Yeah, it's playing cards and the memorabilia. Yeah, it's big business. When they said to him, you're not Tiger Woods, stop behaving like a Tiger Woods, did they mean don't behave like Tiger Woods would behave?
Oh, yeah.
Or did they mean you're just not a big enough name to behave in this way?
I think the latter.
Sign Tiger is big bucks.
Yeah. I think you've no right to behave like this. Just sign the damn autograph.
Well, every autograph, like Phil's autograph, mustn't be worth very much.
Do you not think so?
Well, considering he's such a good guy,
oh, yeah,
and spends hours signing every autograph available.
It's a supply and demand issue.
But could you ever envisage yourself buying a product because some lad has signed it?
No. No, obviously
it's
not.
It's the sort of thing you would buy somebody as a present.
Yeah.
So, you know, a mate of yours is turning 40 and you know he's a huge Jordan Spieth fan. What'll I get him? Maybe I'll get him a signed...
Yeah, maybe.
Some people are just not programmed. Like,
signed Spieth golf ball.
We'd probably come across enough people to not be that
starstruck.
Away, or you kind of realise, you know, they fart too. They're normal too. They're not that amazing.
Whereas which celebrity farted in front of you?
Whereas if you're...
who stunk out the studio?
if you're a 12-year-old and, you know, it's a nice thing to have.
But if you're a 12-year-old who's at that golf course, you don't need an adult bumping you out of the way.
Oh, look,
and dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, sure.
Damn scums.
No, no, no. We're with Spieth on this. But the only caveat, I think, is he doesn't actually acknowledge that it's hard work.
Yeah.
They're not layabouts. They're working really, really hard.
I do have a lot of sympathy, and this goes back to an issue Rory McIlroy had at the Irish Open before as well, where he spent half an hour, 40 minutes signing autographs for people,
mm-hmm.
and then he'd say, you know, I need to go. I've just played a 5-hour round of golf. Mm-hmm. I need to go have my lunch.
Yeah.
I have a day planned. And he's getting abuse from people as he walks off.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, he's lost the run of himself.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I know. Golfers just need to accept that. It's just one of those things. You're gonna annoy somebody. I mean, Mickelson could be there for 2 hours, and he'll still annoy somebody because they were just at the end of the queue.
Oh, someone will be going home that night going, I can't believe Phil.
Yeah, he's got no time for the common man.
It's a consequence of the internet age. Kevin Gilban was saying on the Off the Ball show when this cropped up last week that this started around the turn of the century, and it's because things like eBay were suddenly available and people realised you can make money. So, I don't know. It's the way it's going to be. This week we're at Riviera. Hogan's Alley, the Humphrey Bogart tree, all that stuff. This is a great course because it's very hilly, so you get some great vantage points, and it's just got that little touch of old school glamour. Now, I don't know in reality if you're there, if it feels like it has old school glamour in the middle of LA, but on TV where they throw up black and white pictures of Humphrey Bogart, it feels kind of nice. So I don't know if it's manufactured just for TV or if it actually feels kind of cool when you're there. Jordan Spieth is there at 15-2, favourite. Dustin Johnson 8-1. It's an amazing field. Hideki Matsuyama is 10-1. Jason Day world number 1 is 14-1. Adam Scott's 18s. Justin Rose 20. Justin Thomas is there as well. Sergio Garcia, fresh from his win, is there as well. Brant Snedeker, Brooks Koepka, Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson at 35s is there. It's actually an amazing field, and we'll have Harrington and Lowry there as well.
Yeah, it's a shame they just don't call it the LA Open still.
I know, it's so much
the
cooler.
LA Open with Genesis, whatever Genesis do.
Yeah, it's because it's just a historic event. Like when you read the golf books that are focused on the 50s and 60s, there it is. The LA Open is there. They talk about Palmer and Nicklaus and Player playing the LA Open.
Yeah.
And it seems like a different tournament. And obviously, we would probably be far more familiar with the Northern Trust Open. Mm. That would have been for many years. And it changes again. I had to Google the Genesis Open just to make sure I was thinking about the same tournament.
Yeah.
McDowell there as well, so there's plenty of Irish interest. Seamus Power not in the field. I assume that's an eligibility issue, given that he came off the Nike Tour. He has played nearly every week, but there's still some events that he can't get into.
Mm-hmm. It does look like a brilliant,
amazing field.
Venue because it is set right in the heart of Hollywood, pretty much.
It's quite something when they zoom up to the blimp and you just see how congested it all is.
Yeah.
It's the only piece of greenery for miles, like if they ever sell it.
It feels like the real start of the season. I know Hawaii we love, but there's too many jokey events.
Yeah.
There's too many changes. This is, you're getting into proper test of golf.
Mm.
Like Bubba's won this a couple of times.
Mm.
Phil Mickelson has won it a couple of times.
This has the amazing short par 4, which often crops up in playoffs. There was an amazing playoff a number of years ago with Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley and a third. And it's a perfect risk and reward par 4. Do you drive, do you lay up, all that kind of stuff. So if it does go to a playoff, it's always worth sticking around for. It often does go to a playoff here.
Was that was the playoff where Keegan holds first and Phil gives him a round of applause, and then Phil holds and the two of them give a little fist bump
on the 18th? I don't know to get to the playoff, maybe, because how many playoffs could Phil and Keegan have been in? You're thinking it was, we have an adjudicator here in the room who thinks it was, maybe it was. If, I mean, that's the lovely 18th where there's a bank and people sit around. Yeah, no, it is. That is it. Yeah. So it's amazing. Actually, the 18th is amazing. It's a perfect amphitheatre.
And that hole is great for a playoff, particularly if you are hitting second. Because if your guy makes balls of his tee shot, well, then your decision will be made. Do you go for it or do you not? I don't know would I ever be standing on the tee box in a playoff and try and drive the green. You can find yourself in some really awkward spots. There was a drivable par 4 of the Waste Management Open, and very few guys made birdie off the back of trying to drive the green, because you can just go wrong very quickly.
Yeah. All right, so that's the LA Open, Genesis Open, on the way this weekend. One point, of course, about this is that Tiger Woods, not there. It's funny how for the last number of weeks, Tiger Woods was the first thing we mentioned, and now very quickly it's become fairly predictable and less exciting. So Tiger Woods obviously withdrew from Dubai 2 weeks ago after that single round, because that was the last time we were all here, where we'd watched his first round and it was terrible. And so he's withdrawn with back spasms, and it turns out the back spasms haven't cleared up, so he has skipped a scheduled press conference, let alone playing, just a press conference for yesterday. My doctors have advised me not to play the next 2 weeks, to continue my treatment, to let my back calm down. And then Steinberg said that after receiving daily treatment the last several days and his ongoing back spasms, Tiger's been advised by doctors to limit all activities. He will not hold a press conference. There was a quote from Steinberg saying that Woods has to remain horizontal at the moment. This is back to square one.
But there were also reports that he's in LA, that he is there, and that he had been spotted out and about and was having dinner with someone and looked visibly uncomfortable when he was trying to sit down.
But even the way he's walking at the best of times, even Dubai pre-tournament, he did an interview with, how's his name going in my head? The former RNA.
Peter Dawson.
Yeah. And so it starts off with them just walking to the table to do the interview. And Dawson's back looks better than Woods.
He looks old.
He's twice his age, Dawson. And Woods is, he's hunched over at a 45 degree angle almost the whole time now.
If he doesn't quit playing golf for good, that by the time he's 50, he will not be able to get out of bed in the morning. Like, what's more important, being able to play with his kids, or somehow trying to get back to a level of golf where he can make a cut, let alone win a major championship?
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing flying out to Dubai in the first place.
It was crazy.
It made no sense.
Because the previous week we watched him. What tournament was it? His return. I can't remember which one it was. It was the week 2 weeks before the Waste Management Open
in San Diego.
Yeah, he could barely walk.
Torrey
Pines. He could barely walk off the tee box, having bent over to pick his tee up after a drive.
Yeah.
What is he going to be like in 5-6 years' time if he keeps trying to come back? I think at some stage he just has to decide, you know, golf is done.
Yeah.
It's just too traumatic on his body.
Well,
he can't handle it anymore.
It's a pity, because a month ago we were looking at the prospect of 4 out of 5 weeks, which gave everybody the impression that he felt it was ready to go and 100% again.
I mean, for a guy's back to be in spasm for 2 weeks.
I know. Now
this doesn't stack up.
This is
from
right.
Steinberg's.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all had a back spasm.
Yeah.
Because Steinberg was asked, you know, is this related to the back issue? He's like, no, this is something else. It's just a spasm. It's not a long-term issue. So,
no, I don't believe this. Like, Woods has commercial interests, and he's probably negotiating contracts all the time or sponsorship deals, and the longer they can perpetuate the myth that this guy has another 4 or 5 years left in the game, the better financially. But I am now awaiting at any moment the ticker along Sky Sports News some morning, because he's not coming back. He's actually done.
But he'd be better off retiring.
Yeah.
He would be better off retiring, and in 4 years' time, suddenly he goes, you know what, I feel all right again. Maybe I'll play a tournament.
Yeah, see how it goes.
Maybe my body's sufficiently rested. But everything you hear from around Tiger Woods suggests, even if he was to retire, he's not going to rest. He's still going to be in the gym doing things he probably shouldn't be doing to make himself look better.
Well, they were the reports, and the people around Woods were quote-unquote frustrated with him, because he just seemed to force himself to work out. He can't seem to acknowledge that he's not what he was. So I don't know. But Woods didn't make the press conference, and needless to say, he's not playing in Riviera. One or two final points. So the European Tour is sexing up golf with the sixth tournament. So what are we calling this? The European Tour is dancing to a new beat, said Philip Reid in the Irish Times, with the launch on Sunday of a new, dare we say it, glitzy team format called Golf Sixes. So you can explain this, Nathan.
No.
All I know is it's a six-hole event, which involves 16 two-man national teams, so 16 pairs national teams competing, and the inaugural weekend competition is at the Centurion Golf Club in England, May 6th to 7th.
Well, this format,
I don't
is,
want to confuse you,
it's
Joe.
It's the easier
this
of
is,
the two. You come
is,
in
this is the
60
different
seconds
event to the one I'm talking about in part.
This one is a lot easier to explain. It's just straight up match play, six holes. There's a winner's purse or an overall purse of €1 million. The two-man team that wins will walk off with $100,000 each, okay. And it's just knockout. That's okay. That. That's
Keith,
this weekend.
Keith Pelly has said of that, it is very much an entertainment product. Depending how things go at Centurion, eventually you might want to build something like a venue custom-made for this, a six-hole kind of venue custom-made. I just think this is an incredibly different way of showcasing our game. We'll have music on the first tee. Oh, brilliant. We'll have music on the first tee, fireworks on the first tee.
Yes.
Fireworks on the first tee.
There you go.
Is it going to be on at night?
No, it will be an entertaining golf product. The future, who knows? We wanted to experiment with a completely new format and then go into the market and test it.
They'll be mic'd up as well, the players?
Well, they did something like this, remember, at the Grove last year at the British Masters, where it was on at night, which is definitely something they're going to try and get into.
The par 3 comp.
Of a Wednesday night
tournament
where you get some of the big names. Again, you have the music, you have the fireworks, you have all that.
Yeah. It's like a long drive competition, but a par 3.
Do you know what you kind of want, though? You want the losers to lose something. Everybody's a winner in golf. Like, you're picking up a paycheck for nothing. True. What you want is everyone has to put $100,000 into the pot.
Again, with the gambling.
And the winner takes it all. Why like, not this have, is the sort of thing Phil could get down with.
Why not have whoever finishes last misses the tournament?
Misses what?
Genius!
Tournament?
The next day, you miss the
course. Genius! Yeah.
You miss the
Or you start with
course.
A...
Imagine Tiger Woods having to hit that green to play the next
day. You start with a punishment. You're four shots already on your card.
Like being at the back of the grid. Okay, so that's
we're laughing
happening.
Now.
Yeah, we should be on
Keith
the
Pelly's listening in going,
Keith, call us.
How did we not think about this?
Yeah.
So that's coming up. What's happening this week is the IPS Handat World Super 6 event in Perth.
World
so this used
Super
to be a regular
six.
PGA or European Tour event in Perth every year, and they've changed it to make it a bit more exciting. It is a mix of stroke play and match play. So three rounds of regular stroke play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The top 24 then progress to the next stage, which involves a six-hole match play contest until we get all the way down to a champion. So the top eight players get a bye to the second round of the match play. It's only over six holes, so you should really be able to tear through it. And then, so they have a six-hole course. Well, they pick six holes that everybody goes through. It's a mix of three par four holes and a par three and a par five. If they don't have a winner, this is where it gets really interesting, Joe. If they don't have a winner after six holes, there's a specially constructed 93-yard knockout hole which has been built for a sudden-death playoff.
Amazing.
Which I'm fairly sure is closest to pin.
Yeah. That sounds good to me, actually. That's a good idea. It's a bit different. I wouldn't like to see it every week, but I'll take
it. No, Keith Pelly, I mean, he's come in with no baggage into this job on the European Tour. He's Canadian and he's been paid a lot of money to try and make some changes. I'm delighted to see that. I don't know if I'd agree with all the changes, but at least he's thinking about it. At least he's looking at someone like Barry Hearn, for example, and what he's managed to do for darts and snooker over the last 10 years. Then players being mic'd up, I think, is something that we should see an awful lot more.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how it goes. Anything that reduces the amount of time it takes for the final round to be played, so you can actually get to the business end of it far more quickly. For a regular tour, you would never want to see this in the majors. There's other stuff been talked about. I know there was a piece in The Guardian during the week about a three-day cut. So cut after the second round, cut after the third round, and have no more than 20 or 24 players playing on the Sunday in two bowls. And so you can condense it into 3 hours, 4 hours.
That's a great idea.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that actually...
Because that gives you the best of both worlds.
Ewan Murray, Royal Roberto. Now, this is his idea. This is not something that he's taken from someone within the European Tour.
Why didn't you think of that?
But that's something that I think... Like, no one wants to watch the guys who are like 45th.
Yeah, and to be fair...
On a Sunday.
They would acknowledge they're out of the tournament.
Yeah.
So it's just a perfunctory thing, them playing on a Sunday. There's no need for them to be there. So that idea of 20 guys, so 10 two balls. Go. Now we're talking.
Like, that takes quite a few boxes. So you still have your 3 days of regular golf for your hardcore golf nuts who like to get up in the morning and watch it on Sky Sports.
Yeah.
But then, for your one time of the week where you might grab the public's attention, which is in the final round, the back nine, it's over in 2 hours.
That's
it's over
great.
In or it's over in 3 hours, which people might actually sit and watch.
Yeah.
Rather than what happens is, they tee off at 7 o'clock and you're still there at 10 past 12 at night going, how is this still happening?
The leaders are on the 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there can be some maybe rule where if you're within 13, 14 shots, you also get in for the Sunday. So maybe there might be 22, 23, 24.
Well, no, they would do it so that it would go back. It'll be a count back. if you're level with somebody, it's not ties that get through. You look at the back nine that they played the previous day, and that gets them in or out.
If you're 13 back, you're not going to win.
Okay, but how many back? Because say, for instance, it was an unbelievably condensed field and there were 20 players within four shots and you were five shots off the lead, you'd be a bit peeved off.
You would, but that's... So what?
Oh, wow, ruthless. Okay.
That's life.
Fair enough.
I think Keith Pelly realises that they do need to bring an element of ruthlessness into this because nobody is watching golf anymore. It's too long. It's just far too long. And that there's a reason, like, we'll scoff at it, but there's a reason he's been brought in to do this job.
Yeah, and like this thing in Perth is a perfect example. This tournament has been going on for 5-6 years. Tell me who won the Perth Invitational last year.
Brent Weisberger.
Did he?
No, I don't know.
But you don't remember. Whereas now suddenly we're talking about this tournament this week.
Yeah.
The only thing I wonder about this tournament is, say... you play the first three rounds in 61, 62, 63 and you're 11 shots clear of the field after the third round and then you get to match play and you're beaten over six holes by somebody and
but
your
again,
entire
it's
card...
But again, it's only one event in the year.
No, but that's a great point.
Well, no, it's like when you hear players bitching and moaning about the US Open setup from the USGA is just too difficult. Well, it's only one tournament a year.
No, sure, but there is something instinctively wrong if you've played the best golf by miles for 3 days, you're lapping the field and then some lad over six holes, which is a sprint in golfing terms, you know, chips in three times in a row and you're out.
But it's not like you're waking up Sunday morning and the European Tour officials knocking on your hotel room door and saying, by the way, we've changed the format of the tournament overnight. I know you're eight shots clear, but you're going to have to go out and play match.
No, I know, but
he knows it on the flight over.
It is still a problem with it.
It's not a problem.
It is.
They're the rules. It's like when you hear
what you're getting yourself into.
The team that finishes third in the championship and gets beaten by the sixth place team in the playoffs. You always hear people say, oh, well, that's really unfair. But you knew that was the situation before. Go up automatically if that's your problem.
All right. Okay. Fine. No, yeah, I hear you. I'll politely disagree. But I hear you. Is there any final points anyone wants to make?
That's such a great idea. Wednesday nights and
if
you come last, you're out.
Yeah, the Golf Weekly idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'll do with our Golf Weekly golf days.
What they should do at Augusta is whoever wins the par 3 tournament on the Wednesday gets a 2-shot head start Thursday morning.
Right, this is...
It might help get rid of the curse.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have guys dunking their tee shots in the water on the ninth hole.
That's true.
To make sure that they weren't eliminating themselves from the running.
What other ideas do you have, Dave? About anything?
I haven't really thought long about it.
That's
one, just I just threw that one out there.
That's fine. Okay, so I think we're done. So again, March 3rd, we're having a 9-hole golf.
You want me
day.
Go through this?
No, for God's sake, no. For God's sake, no. But I just
very simple. March 3rd, Castleknock Golf Club.
Yeah.
1:30 to 3:30. We'll sort out tee times closer to the time once you know you're in. But all you have to do is download the Vox Golf app.
Yeah.
And tweet your name to @GolfWeeklyNT.
This is obviously a conversation that we should have off air, but should we not, like, should the winners not get to have the option of bringing someone because you're going on your own? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to go and play with some strangers now. Should we let people,
go
in pairs?
Give 25 places?
Yeah. Or certainly give people the option if they come back and say, no, I'm happy to go on my own. Because lots of people did that for the Golf Weekly Classic. They said, you know what, give my place to someone else. I'm not going to drag my three mates who don't even listen to the pod. But I just wonder, maybe we should give winners the option of taking someone. I know it's a little bit of extra work, but I think...
Golf with strangers is not fun. Unless you're able to laugh out loud.
I've literally given them a list of names, so...
Okay. Well, I think we might do that. Am I putting you in a bad spot here?
No.
I can edit this out if I am.
No, wait. Edit this out.
This whole thing.
Either way, we're editing this out.
Oh, no, we're leaving this in. No, this was consensus. It just occurs to me we should maybe give people the
option. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay,
let's do
so
that.
You can bring a mate.
We're very much lowering the editorial curtain here.
Yeah. Listen.
Whatever you want, Joe.
Okay, brilliant. Good man. We will see you next week. And sure, come along to Castleknock. It'll be good. Bye. Go and tell all my exes wear Rolexes. But I reside right here in Dardanelle, all picket town. Little J.D. Starter.